a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living. That's exactly what makes them extra to me, and I am excited for you to meet them. Now, I normally try to set up our guests here on Manna with a related Bible passage or maybe a clever little anecdote to kind of build the suspense of who we're blessed to be spending the next half hour with here. But today's guest is doing so much to inspire men of faith across so many different platforms and in so many different arenas that I have to cut to the chase to get it all in, or we'll spend all 30 minutes just on the intro alone. Okay, so today's guest is an entrepreneur. He's a coach. He's a Muay Thai instructor. He can pronounce it for us later. He's an AI specialist. He's a social media strategist, a sales expert. He's an author of one book and another book on the way. And he's the host of his own podcast with more than 100,000 followers. His content across multiple media platforms, including YouTube, that currently gets between 5 and 10 million monthly views. I think I'm understating all of this. Like the Johnny Cash song, he is everywhere, man. He's on motorcycles. He's in the marketplace. He's in the media evangelizing a message of masculinity that, and I quote here, helps young men become good men and good men become great men. Can't wait to dig into his origin story of his life's work, which unfortunately for him came as a result of really not having great male influences growing up. But as we all know, God has a knack for taking what man meant for evil and turning it around to use it for good. So without any further ado, let's get right to it with today's Manna man, Mr. Nico Lagan. Hey, Nico.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Thanks so much for being here. As I said, you've got a big, inspiring story that you have told myriad times. You've been across, as I mentioned, multiple media platforms on podcasts, on videos, telling your story, live telling your story. And you continue to find new ways to keep telling it and inspiring it. But I kind of want to start off instead of, which I'm sure most of the time starts like, yeah, well, in the beginning, I kind of want to start midstream in that story because you, and then we'll go backwards and forwards by the time we're done here. But the reason I want to start kind of in the middle is because many of our listeners out there at Manna are working guys. They're working men in corporate sales jobs, jobs that you had. And a lot of our listeners have likely had thoughts of, you know what, chucking it all for a more rewarding mission-led life, which you did and are doing. So I'd love to actually start there. Take us back to, that moment where you felt like, you know what, I've got more to say, I've got more to do. And what pushed you over the edge? Was it kind of a lightning bolt moment, or was it just a series of these little nudges that eventually you're just like, all right, it tipped me over and here I go?
You know, it's my old job that forced me into a position that I never thought I'd be in. And I just reacted. There's not a lot in life we control. And when you start realizing that really the only three things we control are our emotions, our actions, and our reactions, you start looking at everything that happens around you and be able to step back and say, okay, I can't choose the situation in which I find myself, but the way I react to it is totally up to me. I might not like my options, but it is still up to me to choose the option that makes more sense to me. And back in March 2020, we all know what happened. And I was in a situation where I was a sales engineer back then. So I worked for the corporate world. I wore a suit every day. I was really every day I was in front of customers. So I would meet with customers, take down their needs, explain how we can help, and that was my life. And we all know what happened in March 2020. I'm from Canada, so the restrictions were absolutely brutal, so we couldn't meet face-to-face. And that's the only reason I lived in the city, is to be close to my customers. And the gym that I went to every day and the martial art gym I also went at night where I taught Muay Thai, it was also closed. So I started looking at my life and I'm like, okay, you have a house in the middle of nowhere that you normally rent on Airbnb. And I started thinking, what scares me the most? Spending a lot of time by myself. I'm an extrovert and spending time by myself is not something I was very good at. My days were normally, they would start around 3:30, 4 in the morning, and I would go to bed at probably 10 o'clock at night. Wow. And I would do that every day. I was always busy. I always had something to do. And the whole situation put me in a state where I had the opportunity for the first time in my life, especially regarding this type of job, where I could do everything remotely. So I decided, I got rid of the place in the city. I moved to my log house in the middle of nowhere. And when I say log house, try to imagine the most Canadian thing you can think of. Log house, middle of the forest, top of a mountain, overlooking a lake. So yeah. It was really like, the only thing I was missing is an igloo. And then it would be the most Canadian thing ever, right? So I moved there with my German Shepherd. I ended up spending 2.5 years there altogether. And the first year and a half, I was there by myself. And, you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe if it wasn't for the fact that my father left when I was 14 years old, I wouldn't be talking about masculinity today. If it wasn't for the fact that I was an addict, that through most of my teenage years, I was an addict both to drugs and alcohol, that I was a thief, that I was really not a good person, I wouldn't have so much accountability in my life today. If it wasn't for the fact that I started paying attention to what goes on around me, I wouldn't have realized that there's no such thing as coincidences. If it wasn't for the instinct that I have, I wouldn't have realize that it's God talking through my heart that's telling me what I should be doing. So something told me that this was it, that I needed to start preparing for something else, and that's what I did. I looked at my skills, and it's not by accident that I spent 12 years in high-end sales. It's not by accident that prior to that I would configure high-end equipment in telecommunication, and then I ended up selling those services. Because today, what do? I help content creators add AI to their content creation process. So I take something that's extremely technical and I explain it in layman's terms so that anybody that needs technology can use it in a way that makes sense to them. So everything that I've done for 12 years, from all the psychology research that I've done, the NLP certifications that I've done, the presentation that I'm used to doing in front of people, basically prepared me for doing what I'm doing today.
Yeah, that's so great.
You don't choose it, right? It's I say this all the time, but I really mean it. It's, if it was up to me, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. It's too much work. Right. It's so much work. I literally had an opportunity. I don't know if you've ever had that moment, but that this is always how I choose to, at least I choose to remember it. About 14, 15, maybe 16 months ago, I got, the decision was already took. I had given my notice. I was telling my boss that on September 15th, I'm done. And I got approached by Amazon. And in my work, this is as good as it gets. Yeah. Like I was already making six figures, but they were literally doubling to tripling my salary. Wow. And one thing that I've realized over the years is, just before you're about to take the decision that you're supposed to take, the devil will tempt you. So I literally had this in my mind where I had a little angel on one of my shoulders. Mm-hmm. I had a little devil on my other shoulder. One was saying, no, you're supposed to quit the corporate world. You're supposed to start living your purpose. You're supposed to do what you were meant to do. And then on the other side, hey, screw that, bro. Why don't you just take that job? Be a lot easier. So I always think that something, the world, the devil, the universe, however you choose to define it, will try to tempt you. Mm-hmm. So instead of me being tempted, I saw that as a confirmation. I'm like, yup, I'm definitely gone. If this is happening right now, I'm gone.
Yeah. And when did, with all that time that you had for reflection, and you paint a great visual, a picture of this log cabin, you know, it's very idyllic space with a lot of alone time, a lot of time to reflect. When did the, because what I love about the work that you're doing is so mission focused, and it's very, you've got a very clarified point of view, especially for men. Mm-hmm. How much of that was born there versus was really what came out of that experience that you just described? Was that really just the, all right, I got to do something. I'm going to do something different. Okay. And it built over time after that decision was made, or how much of the actual, like how much of it was fully formed, you know, in that moment where it's like, okay, I'm doing this and this is what it is.
Zero. Okay. I had no clue. If I look at what I, at where we are today, my girlfriend and I couldn't have predicted this a year ago.
Wow.
Really? All I knew when, like in March 2020 and what happened after, the only thing I, it really went from I'm being put in a corner. What can I do? Okay. I'll just work on developing something that has nothing to do with what I'm doing right now. Yeah. So I started recording a podcast. Through the 20 years I spent in martial art, I know people everywhere and I know people that are recognized on the world base, and I'm a sales guy. So I approached a bunch of really recognized people worldwide and they liked my message. So we started talking. But back then I was doing it more in a Joe Rogan style. Mm-hmm. No preparation, no anything. I showed up as a sales guy and I'm like, I know what you do. So let's start talking about how the inspiring work that you do, because that was just my intent. And even when we left 14 months ago, I still wasn't, I wanted to help men. I really wanted to somehow work with men and continue doing more and more coaching, but I wasn't sure in which way. And it's interesting because 14 months ago, I could have counted on one hand the amount of time I spent that I actually went to church. And when we left Canada, we went through New York State, we went through Pennsylvania, we ended up in Virginia, where my mentor is from. And he's a religious guy. So he brought us to the church. He brought us to a church that he goes to. And my girlfriend and I went to it and we're like, eh, not really. Like, I'm very demanding when it comes to pastors because I'm a presentator. If I feel that I'm better than you, I'm not listening to you. Like, it's very hard for me because I'm going to break down everything. I'm looking at you and I can't concentrate. I'm like, stop doing that. Yeah. You need to do this when you're speaking. So it's very hard to find good orators, but that started it. As soon as we left Virginia, we started looking for churches everywhere that we went. And it's very interesting because in Virginia, the quest for faith, I've had faith for a very long time, but never through the church. Hmm. But I started wanting to surround me with Christians. And then at one point we ended up in Texas. And in Texas, I met some of the biggest influencers on the planet at the gym. My girlfriend was recording me with like 10 grand of equipment. And one of the guys shows up to me. He's like, bro, what are you doing? Because I'm not here on the cell phone. I'm here, massive camera, massive tripod, like you can tell I'm doing something high end.
Sure.
And that guy challenged me. He's like, hey man, we need to record something. He's like, I'd like you to tell me what are the 5 things that every young man should know. I'm like, man.
That's awesome. So he just came up to you. You didn't know him. He just approached you and.
Oh yeah. 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 I did not know him at all. We started talking and he's like, I'm looking at him and I'm like, I swear I know who this guy is.
Yeah.
And then turns out, do you know the guys? There are 3 guys that run that channel, but the School of Hard Knock.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've heard of that. Yep. Yep.
So the guy that's always in front of the camera shows up to me and he's like, hey bro, what's going on? What do you do? What are you recording? What's going on? So we started hitting it off. We recorded a bunch of stuff together. The 2 brothers are amazing. The third friend is absolutely great. They're very inspiring young men. But yeah, they challenged me. They're like, man, we need to do something. You need to tell us what the 5 things that a man should possess. And I'm like, okay, challenge accepted. So I went back home, and I'm somebody that wakes up extremely early. Like, I'm normally 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm up. And that night I just started writing, and then I came up with the 5 virtues of a good man. And this is what my content is all surrounded about. It's really just, I got challenged. So we ended up leaving there. We went to, we did all Texas. We ended up in Arizona. I met a pastor that really lightened, like, it really piqued my interest into the Christian church and the Christian faith. So he really, like, I'm like, man, this guy's amazing. Such a great presentator. Mm-hmm. Comes from a similar background to me, because we can talk about this. It really depends on you. But I think Christianity, the church, has gone soft. They're too lenient. They accept things that shouldn't be accepted, and they try to cater to new people instead of really selling what the real morality of Christianity is. Mm-hmm. And that guy came from a similar background to me. He was not a guy that was raised in the church. He was a guy that used to be a gang member, like I was. He used to sell drug. He used to be an addict, just like I was. Mm-hmm. So that pastor was amazing, and we've had so many awesome conversations, just him and I, because I challenge people. If you're going to tell me something, I'm going to challenge you, because I've researched it too. Yeah. So he just accepted the challenge, and he just really gave me faith that I could find denominational churches somewhere that I would align with. Yeah. And then we ended up going to Colorado because I was invited there. Like, we went, just so you know, we went to Yuma because we wanted to cross over into Mexico to renew our visitor visa as Canadian. Then I was invited by somebody that found me online that loved what I do. He's like, if you're ever in Colorado, I have a bunch of people to introduce you to. So I'm just like, okay, cool. We went to Colorado.
That's great.
And I got called out in church. It's interesting. The pastor was giving a sermon, and he was saying at the end that following Jesus Christ is not enough. You need to spread the gospel. You need to talk about him. You need to do everything that you can to spread the word. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, I'm an influencer. I have a bunch of content I put online. I got a lot of views. I never speak about it because I never was able to put it into words. I wasn't comfortable speaking about it, but mm-hmm. then I'm like, screw you, bro. I'm like, yeah. Challenging me is the worst and best thing you can do.
Yeah.
And he's like, you need to be ready to affirm it. So it turned out that the week before we were leaving Colorado, they were having a baptism service. So I got baptized as an adult. And ever since then, I started integrating Christianity into my message, like slowly and slowly. And now I finally found a pastor here. We're in Alabama right now. And I found a pastor at the church where we go. We've been going there for 2.5 months now, every Sunday. And now one of the pastors recorded a bunch of content with me. Like, we spent an hour and a half, 27 questions. He answered them all. Now I'm releasing the content slowly and slowly, but all questions that could inspire men that are not religious, but that knows that something's missing in their lives. And they don't want to listen to a goody two shoe Christian. They want to listen to somebody that has a messed up past just like they do.
Yeah, right. Well, in such a really divined, I think, path that you've been on. I mean, the Holy Spirit showing up there in the gym, showing up there in Colorado. And
everywhere.
Because to your credit and to God's credit, what you've developed, Nico, around, and you speak to these 5 virtues, but I want to make sure our listeners understand what they are. So this is what you concocted there by yourself back in your apartment there. So the 5 virtues are provider, protector, courage, temperance, and faith. So, and the reason I wanted to share those with our listeners is because back to the story you told, okay, you're challenged at the gym, you go home, challenge accepted, and these things come out of your brain, okay? Not after 40 years of a traditional religious, you know, upbringing with a lot of, you know, catechesis and all this kind of stuff, but you're coming up with these virtues that you could pluck these out of any you know, kind of traditional, you know, religious sort of like, you know, dogma, you know, which, and I'm saying that complimentary, dude. You're like, this is, so you definitely were a vessel, okay, to be communicating and articulating these virtues. Talk to us about, if you can remember back, how did these five come to you? Like, was it a slow drip, you know, where you're like, you know, no. Okay, I got one, you know, or did no. it, was it just a more of a
overnight
floodgates opened?
One night I had them all. The okay. only thing that's been challenging me, and it's funny because I was approaching one of the pastors at the church a couple of weeks ago, because so in my head, it is courage, protection, providing, temper, like temperance, and then faith. But the more I read the Bible, the more I read very religious texts, everybody seems to say that faith comes first. So in my head, courage comes first, because if you don't have courage, you're not going to be able to do anything. But then you can challenge that faith. If without faith, you'll never have courage. So I'm like, man, I don't have the answer to that one. And it's important because I need to sell the first one. I need to tell people what the first one is. So I spoke to one of the pastors, and he looks at me. He's like, man, I don't know. He's like, you're making a good point, because think about it today. If you read C.S. Lewis, you did not have to think to talk about courage. He was preaching the gospel during the First World War when men were at war. They already were courageous.
Yeah.
That was a fact. Men are supposed to be courageous, but back then they were courageous. A lot of the work was already done. You didn't need to convince people to be protectors and be providers.
Right.
Because if it wasn't for the fact that they wanted to protect, they wouldn't have been in France trying to help, right? So, but then if you look at today, this is not something that's taught anymore. So I'm like, you know, to have faith, you need to be courageous today, because Christians are not liked. Let's call a spade here. There's less and less Christian in North America, and they're more and more under fire. And a lot of us don't have the balls to defend it. So I'm like, man, courage comes first.
Yeah.
Because without courage, I wouldn't be able to believe in my faith. I wouldn't have what it takes to believe in my faith. Plus, if we understand that men are supposed to serve, we are meant to be protectors and providers to our family. And without courage, you're not dependable. How can you depend on someone that is not courageous? You never know how they're going to react to a situation. They might do it the right way, but they might freeze and do nothing. So courage is really, in my opinion, it is the foundation of everything.
Yeah. Well, I think, and you bring up Lewis, I think he said something like courage isn't just one of the virtues. It's in every virtue. It's in every virtue when you get to the point of being tested, you know, like that's actually, so it shows up everywhere. And so I think
I agree with him.
That's so profound. So what kind of reaction, because you are wonderfully, Nico, based on your background and as we've heard here in just these last 24 minutes, I mean, you are a very charismatic, very real, very kind of, I don't want to say uncensored, but you definitely tell it like it is.
I am uncensored. No, it's a great way to put it.
You know, but what kind of reaction do you get out there? I have to imagine, you know, bull in a china shop might not be the right adage, but I have to imagine that for as many people who embrace your candor and your authenticity, that you've probably also, you know, maybe crossed some wires along the way.
All the time. It's, you know, there's nobody out there that if you hear me, you have an opinion. You either like me or you either really love me or you absolutely hate me. There's no, I don't have a lot of gray areas when it comes to the way I think, and I'm not going to apologize for what I believe.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like Jesus, Nico. I mean, there wasn't a lot of gray area with Jesus either. So,
and you know, never would I ever compare to him. Never. But he is very inspirational in a way that it's very, very strange when you look at him from a masculine perspective. Jesus Christ is really one of a kind. Like, forget the fact that he was the Son of God. Just take him as a man. It is extraordinary because he was kind.
Yeah.
He was compassionate. He would see things in people that nobody else would see. He believed in being able to defend yourself. He didn't believe in vengeance. He was ready to call. He was ready to say what needed to be said when it needed to be said, no matter the consequences. So he was courageous beyond belief.
Yeah.
And he has all the traits that a good man would should have, yet he was kind to a point that I can only dream of becoming.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely amazing to have a guy that does not look masculine at all, but takes masculinity to a completely different level.
Oh, amen. Amen. That is so true, Nico. That is the message. If you want the model for a man, that's it. So, well, it's wonderful. Dude, we could talk all day, but you are, as I mentioned in the intro, you're one of the busiest guys that we've ever interviewed here on Mana. So we're going to respect everybody's time here and get to our fun segment. And maybe we can get you back on another episode.
Anytime. Anytime, man. Anytime.
So the fun segment here, same three questions we ask every guest. And it's just kind of a, apropos of the name, just kind of a fun way to wrap it up here. So fun segment question number one, if Jesus, speaking of the man, if Jesus knocked on your door tomorrow morning and just wanted to hang out with you for the day. Okay, you got a whole day. You can do anything you want, go anywhere you want. It's you and Jesus. How are you going to spend your time?
Sit down with a cigar.
All right.
Going to pick his brain. Just have a conversation with the man. Well, I don't even care at this point. I'm very good at feeling people's energy. Yeah. I just want to see what it feels like to be around a guy like that.
Yeah.
Because this is inspiration beyond belief, right? Like, just talking about him makes me, like, brings tears to my eyes because I want to inspire people. This is all I do. I just want to inspire people. And I can't, having the presence that a guy like this must have had.
Yeah.
Just to be in his sheer presence. He doesn't even need to talk to me. No. Just be there could be simply amazing.
I agree. I totally agree. All right. Fun segment question number two. If you could go to church with any other man, living or dead, famous or not, from anywhere, could be fictional for all we care here. But the task is, or the assignment is, you're going to go to church and you're going with another guy. Who is that man going to be?
Tim Keller.
Hmm.
I was introduced to him a week ago, one of the pastor at church. I'm always looking for ways to implement ideologies like theology in my content. So I do read a lot, and I was finding C.S. Lewis to be a bit boring because he's a bit old school, right? He speaks to people, like I was saying, the people he spoke to were already courageous, were already protectors. But nowadays, we have to start so far back that the message of C.S. Lewis he's talking to people that are already almost there.
Yeah.
Tim Keller takes it from the beginning, like being able to establish a 5,000 to 6,000 people church in Manhattan is insanity.
Right.
How does that happen? Can you imagine how amazing that man would have been? And his book is I'm reading, what is it? Hold on. It's right here. It's Timothy Keller, The Reason for God. And just amazing. He already blew my mind in a few of the things that he said, and he must have been an amazing, amazing individual.
That's great. I love it. That's and a good reading tip there. All right, last question. Fun segment question number three. If you could, and you're going to have to be judicious here because I know you've given thousands of pieces of advice over the course of your work. But if you could just give one, what's the one piece of advice that you would give a younger man? And by the way, I just love that mission statement that you have about raising, helping young men become great men and great men. That's just fantastic. But back to the question, if you could give just one piece of advice to a younger man about living this courageous, confident, yet humble and kind life of faith, what would that one piece of advice be?
Understand that being a man is extremely hard, and men are not born, they are made. Men are made through trials and tribulations. This is something that I wish somebody would have explained to me a long time ago, that men are meant to serve. They're meant to protect. They're meant to provide. They're meant to take care of others. They are meant to be selfless. You are supposed to put others before you.
What just came out of your mouth there sounded, again, just a lot like Jesus there. So
I just swear a lot more than I have.
Well, Nico Lagan, thank you so much for being here on Manna. Thanks so much for your story. And not just your backstory, but more importantly, this what you're doing moving forward and inspiring so many men and women with your message and your work.
I'm grateful, so thank you.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.